Well, I think people in this country want a person of faith to lead them as their governor, as their senator, as their president. I don't think most people care what brand of faith they have. And I don't believe that that's been an issue for me in my race for governor. It wasn't an issue, I believe, serious for John Kennedy when he ran for president.
That was Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney speaking on Fox News Sunday about his faith. He's a Mormon, by the way, and a potential run for the presidency in 2008. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. Big question for you. Mitt Romney has as good a chance at this point, I mean, who knows, as anybody else who's going to throw their hat into the ring for 2008 in the presidential run. Would you vote for a Mormon for president of the United States? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, Issues Etc. for the next hour. That's one of the questions I've got for you. I've got other questions on Romney, but think about that one and give us a call. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727, or use our in-studio email address at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Would you vote for a Mormon for president of the United States? His voice might be one that's going to become very familiar if he decides to become a candidate. It's open lines. LCMS World Relief is turning its concern all over the globe. I just saw the director of LCMS World Relief, Matt Harrison, the other night, and had a brief conversation with him about the Philippines and the mudslides that seem to be an ongoing problem there. Many dead, entire villages wiped out. LCMS World Relief brings the message of Christ and the touch of mercy that goes with that message worldwide to places like the Philippines, the Sudan, those regions devastated by tsunamis, and here at home as well after hurricanes. For more information about LCMS World Relief, you can go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can call and donate directly, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. Christ-centered and cross-focused concern for both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. All right, we just heard from Governor Mitt Romney. Let's hear more from Massachusetts Governor, possible presidential contender in 2008. He says he doesn't want to debate the teachings of his Mormon faith.
I'm never going to get into a discussion about my personal beliefs and about particular doctrines of my church and so forth. I'm very proud of my church. It was the church of my father and his father and his father before him.
Now, there are a number of prominent lawmakers in Washington, and I guess there have been senators and members of the House, maybe even, there might have even been a Supreme Court justice, I'm not sure, who have been Mormons. Never a president. To our knowledge, never a president. Mitt Romney hopes he might be, and as he prepares a possible run for the presidency under the Republican ticket in 2008, he's already answering questions about the fact that he is a Mormon. He makes no apologies for it, but he does not think it's something that's a suitable subject for discussion. So my question for you, would you vote for a Mormon for president? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 27th of February. People long ago, back in the early 60s, contented themselves with the question of would they vote for a Roman Catholic for president. The very first Roman Catholic to be elected, John Kennedy. People don't have a problem with Baptists. We've had a number of those. Episcopalians, a number of those as well. The current resident of the White House is a Methodist. And it's covered the whole spectrum from Quakers to everything else. Mormonism is a made-in-America religion. It's as American as any other religion. We have other lawmakers who are Mormons. Would you have a problem with voting for Mitt Romney, Mormon, for president of the United States? Here's Governor Romney again. He says that public officials are sworn to uphold something other than just their personal faith.
People who were elected to office subscribe to this political religion, which is to place the oath of office, an oath to abide by a nation of laws and the Constitution, above all others.
Now, that is, it's a little more complex way of saying what John Kennedy said before he was elected in the early 60s. You remember the question came up at the time, where does his allegiance really lie? If he is a thoroughgoing Roman Catholic, will he have more allegiance to Rome, that is to the Vatican and the papacy, than he will to the American people and his pledge to serve them and uphold the Constitution. And he made it completely clear that while he considered himself a strong Roman Catholic, that was not going to be his primary concern as president. I don't know what I'd do on this. And that's a tough one. Would I vote for a Mormon for president? What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You may very well have the opportunity to do so or not do so in a few short years. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney told Fox News Sunday he's come to believe that abortion is wrong.
When conception occurs, that human life has begun. I'm not talking about religious definitions, but scientific definitions. And that to respect human life, we have to do so from conception. And therefore, I indicated I am pro-life.
That is a change, a recent change for Governor Romney. He had been on the fence at times and then in the pro-choice camp as governor of Massachusetts. But he's changed his tune. About a year ago, he started referring to himself as pro-life. He seems to have a grasp of the issue. Another question about possible presidential contender Mitt Romney. Do you think that his pro-life conversion, if you will, is genuine? Do you trust his pro-life assertion? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Or is this a scenario similar, kind of the flip side of what happens in the Democratic Party? You can very well be a pro-life Democrat as long as you are happy to occupy the lower echelons of the party and of government. You can be a pro-life Democrat governor. You can be a pro-life Democrat, a member of the House. If you want to get into the Senate, that's a little more difficult. And if you want to run for president as a Democrat, you sure as heck better be pro-choice. Or at least have a strong pro-choice voting record behind you and then do what John Kerry did in the last presidential election, which was try to have it both ways. Strong pro-choice voting record, but insisting that life begins at conception. He thinks that abortion is wrong, but he still wants it to be legal. Is this the flip side of that? In the Republican Party, you could be a pro-choice Republican. But if you want to be president, you have to at least say you're pro-life. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So there are two questions for you to this point in this hour of open lines. Do you believe that Governor Mitt Romney is truly pro-life? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And if he decides to run for president in 2008, and he's been very clear that he's not ashamed of his Mormon faith, as he calls it, would you vote for a Mormon for president? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, toss into the mix there that he has already fought a battle. He hasn't won, but he fought valiantly a battle in his own state of Massachusetts to keep gay marriage out of the Constitution and off the books as a law. He fought it, but he didn't win, but he did. And he was a national figure already at the time, fighting against gay marriage in his own state. So he seems to have it right on at least those two issues, gay marriage and the pro-life position as he asserts it now. Would you vote for a Mormon for president? Here's a third question. A little more open-ended. Who do you hope will run for president on both tickets in 2008? Both Democrat and Republican. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm not so much asking who you think will end up being the candidates, but who would you hope to have as the candidates running in 2008? Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Bruce, who calls from his car. Bruce, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd.
Hi.
Yeah, I think you quoted Luther once as saying he'd rather vote for a competent Turk than an incompetent Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe in this sense we can, apply that same concept. I heard Romney on PBS a speech recently. I think Lincoln Day speech, and he's a pretty impressive guy.
He is, yeah.
Pretty sharp. He seems to be right on the issues. At least he's giving him lip service. And his church is pro-life, so that's maybe he's come around to an honest decision on this. We can hope, anyway.
So, do you think that his change on the life issue from being pro-choice to being pro-life? Do you trust that?
I don't know. You hope it's sincere, but it's hard to say. Obviously, if you got around as a Republican, I think that's where the strength of the party is, with the pro-life position. And you don't know. But the Mormon people, as a people, you've probably met many Mormons than I have too. I was a Mormon for 15 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I came out because I found out Joseph Smith was a false prophet. But the people in the church are very sincere. A lot of them are very idealistic and hardworking, and have good values.
Do you know? I'm not asking you to be the expert on Mormonism, but given the fact, Bruce, that you're a former Mormon, do you know if the Mormon Church has any position on embryonic stem cell research? If they've said anything about that, life issue.
I've been out of the church since '88, so I kind of lost track of, I could have told you when I was active because I followed it pretty closely, but I really haven't followed it closely in recent years.
Bruce, thank you for the call. I wonder about Mitt Romney and embryonic stem cell research. That's going to be a subject that any person who wants to sit in the Oval Office is going to have to be able to discuss in the next 2 years. Embryonic stem cell research. It's a must. You have to have a position. You have to know what it is and have to be able to articulate it. There's a fellow Mormon, Senator Orrin Hatch, who supports embryonic stem cell research. Now, I don't know if he's running afoul of his church or if these things are left to the individual conscience. If you're a Mormon, would you vote for a Mormon for president? You got a pro-life Mormon. He has fought the fight and is against gay marriage in his own state. He's kind of proven that. Would you vote for him for president? Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Listening in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Bill, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, good afternoon. I'd just like to throw in the hat someone who I met was at a high school graduation a number of years ago and has now received something of a national prominence, and that's John Thune in South Dakota. He is quite good-looking. Making him attractive in that regard. He's tall, and he's articulate, and he's definitely pro-life. And I think, I don't know all his positions, I have supported him financially, but I would like to include him as a possible presidential candidate, though he probably will never get there because of where he's from.
What about on the Democratic side there, Bill? Who would you like to see? No idea?
No idea.
Bill, thank you very much. We know this much about Mitt Romney. He is anti-abortion. He's against abortion. He believes that, and I think he articulated it in the simplest way, he believes that life deserves protection from conception. That's what he said in that bit we played for you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's thoroughgoing pro-life on all the issues like embryonic stem cell research or end-of-life issues as well. Do you trust Governor Romney's switch to the pro-life position? When he first started talking about this about a year ago and started referring to himself as pro-life, the first question that popped in my mind was, well, is he getting ready to run for president? Because that would be a position he'd want to take if he were running for president, running on the Republican ticket, especially if he wants to distinguish himself on that issue from any possible Democrat who might be running, most of whom would probably be pro-choice. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, issues, etc. That question for you, would you vote for a Mormon? This is not theoretical or hypothetical. There's a real possibility that Mitt Romney will be running, coming to a primary or caucus near you, going out and making the stump speech and going out visiting Iowa and New Hampshire. And it's not that far away, folks. Think about it. Presidential season begins 2007, less than a year away. So would you vote for a Mormon for president? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Coming up in about 40 minutes on the program, we're going to be talking with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. He's been joining us regularly to talk about lay vocation. We've talked about the journalist, the politician, the voter, several other vocations in there as well. What about the doctor? I think until recently, the vocation of physician would have been considered a godly vocation by every Christian. But nowadays, doctors do things that are very difficult to shoehorn into the Hippocratic Oath. Whatever happened to that oath? We'll talk about that with Uwe in about 40 minutes here on Issues Etc. It's Open Lines Issues Etc. Until then, we have an in-studio email address for your questions and your comments. Feel free to use it. We get them right here, and we can answer it or respond. IssuesETC@KFUO.org. And our call-in numbers, as usual, 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. You're kind of thinking ahead to 2008. Maybe you're dreading the presidential race, but you got to think about who's going to fit in those slots. Who would you like to see running for president on both tickets, just the top guys, for president on both tickets in 2008? Wasn't too long ago we were talking about Rudolph Giuliani, former mayor of New York. He's another real possibility. He's Republican. He has the respect of a nation. Well-deserved. He's pro-choice. Here comes Mitt Romney. He's a Republican. He has the respect of many social conservatives because of the fight that he has waged in his own state against gay marriage. He's very recently become pro-life. He's a Mormon. Would you vote for him in 2008? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. We were talking with someone recently, and I remember they were saying that we are going to, sooner or later, see a presidential race with, at the very least, a pro-choice Republican. It may be longer before we see a presidential race with a pro-life Democrat. But I know that Democrats for Life are certainly hoping for that. They don't see it as an impossibility. So if you got your choice between a Rudolph Giuliani, who is pro-choice, Roman Catholic, or also on the Republican ticket facing him, Mitt Romney, pro-life, Mormon, who would it be? There are other Mormon lawmakers out there. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. As time permits during this hour of Open Lines, we're also going to be hearing a piece on this South Dakota law. It's not law yet. Still a bill, still awaiting the governor's signature. The governor says he's inclined to sign this law that would outlaw all abortion in South Dakota, except when the mother's life is directly threatened. Wouldn't be the first attempt to do this, but it may be the one that's timed to pass Supreme Court muster. And then we'll hear from the governor himself, a short interview, I think on ABC or CBS. We'll play that for you as time permits. Matilda calls from St. Peter's. Hi, Matilda.
Yes, I don't know who in the world I'm going to vote for yet, but I think it's very important for people to check the voting records of these nominees. Now, with Mr. Romney, you know, he claims he's pro-life. That's great. But what is his voting record since he has supposedly switched over?
Well, that's a good question to entertain, Matilda. I agree. You do realize that, I mean, his switch is probably no more than a year and a half old, so he might not have had opportunity to build up any kind of a pro-life record as governor.
Well, by the time the election comes, he surely will have.
Does the fact that he's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints concern you, Matilda?
I really don't know. I'm just sitting on the fence on that. Sometimes I think somebody who belongs to any church is better than somebody who doesn't belong to any. But then, I don't know. I've got mixed emotions on that.
You probably like a lot of people, Matilda. Thank you very much. You know, I don't know that it has to make a difference. What would be some concerns you'd have if you had concerns? I mean, you say, well, I got an uneasy feeling about it. Do you have any specific concerns about a Mormon being president of the United States? I mean, would you be concerned, in similar to the concerns that were raised about JFK before he was elected, that his allegiance would fall with the Pope rather than with the American people? Now, the Mormons don't have a Pope, but they do have a prophet. And that prophet does speak with an authoritative voice along with the other apostolic band, I guess is what they, how they think of them in Mormonism. Would you have that concern? Would you have the concern that this would be the first non-Christian, that is, someone of a religion other than Christianity, who isn't, say, like Thomas Jefferson, a deist, the first non-Christian president? I'm not talking about their, I'm not talking about whether they really believe what they say. I'm talking about their profession of faith. Would that be crossing a line that you think is unwise for the American people to cross? First Mormon president. Kia calls from Birmingham, Alabama. Kia, welcome.
Todd, how you doing?
Doing well.
I'm a former Mormon, and I would be concerned with two things. One, his ability to discern truth. I mean, there's a lot of evidence contrary to Mormonism, and it's kind of staring everyone in the face. And if he can't think things through, like, you know, through, like, religious things, you know, he may make it a private matter, but I don't think it's a private matter because I think it reveals a lot about who he is. You know, if he can't think that through honestly, I'd have a, that would be an issue for me. But also the fact that a big part of Mormon theology is kind of, you know, reclaiming America, you know, for the Mormon faith. It's a kind of, I guess, American Zionism, you know.
Oh.
So, I mean, that would be an issue for me because I think it would ring prophetic for the Mormons. Hey, we got America back, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'd be a little concerned about that.
Those are two very interesting concerns, Kia. And thanks for listening down there in Alabama. Her concern, his ability to discern truth. If now, it's kind of a concern by analogy. If someone, and she speaks as a former Mormon, if someone is unable to discern truth, the truth claims of Mormonism, much of the evidence being completely against them. We just talked about DNA evidence this last week. The inability to discern that truth might indicate an inability to discern truth in other areas, like national security or foreign affairs or the economy. That's a valid concern. We have the smartest listeners in radio, without a doubt. And her other concern is the overall agenda of Mormonism, kind of the ethos of Mormonism, and a made-in-America religion that has, what, the restoration of America as a nation and Mormonism as a religion on its agenda? Would you be concerned? What about the people he'd hire? Much of what a president does is reflected in who he hires. When we come back from this break, we'll take more of your phone calls, your questions, and your comments. It's open lines, issues, etc. The question I've laid on the table, Mitt Romney looks like he's ready, as soon as he can, to announce that he's going to give it a try. Run for president in 2008. He's not denying it, and he's already answering questions, quite honestly, about his Mormon faith. Would you vote for a Mormon for president of the United States? And do you think his recent conversion to the pro-life position is real? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hang on the line. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
President Dean Wenthy on the future of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
In every way, I can't believe the blessings that we have been given, as we Lutherans say, not with any merit or worthiness on our part, but by God's grace, He continues to lead talented, dedicated men and women to give their lives to Him and to the truth of the gospel. And I'd like to invite any of your listeners to come and visit us, but more than visit, worship with us, be my guest for a campus tour, and see how our life revolves around this wonderful truth that the incarnate Christ has brought to our world.
To accept Dr. Wenthy's invitation for an on-campus tour at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call 1-800-481-2155.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Harrah's Casino is once again open for business in hurricane-ravaged New Orleans. The reopening is front-page news on the Gulf Coast, heralding the miracle of the casino bringing back nearly all of its 2,500 employees. But Kim Troby reports that it points out another broken promise from casino gambling.
Pastor Joe McKeever of New Orleans remembers when the casinos were first campaigning for the right to move into the Crescent City. They claimed 25,000 jobs would be added to the economy. But as this week's reopening points out, it was only 2,500.
I think if you added up all of the other casinos throughout the state, you might have 10,000 employees, definitely not 25,000.
In an area already hit hard by natural disasters, Tom Gray with the National Coalition Against Gambling Expansion says this is one disaster that can be avoided.
We know they make losers, the addiction, the bankruptcy, the crime and corruption that has been part of Harrah's record in that city. If the best we can do to rebuild the city of New Orleans is to open up a casino, then it seems to me that the devastation of the hurricane is matched only by the man-made devastation of looking at casinos as an answer.
Gray predicts few tourists in New Orleans for some time, and that means locals will be the ones losing their hard-earned money.
People ought to be rebuilding, and money that is being spent in the casino is disposable money, rebuilding money, and that's unfortunate.
McKeever sees nothing but misery coming from the reopening, something New Orleans residents have already seen enough of. For Family News in Focus, I'm Kim Troby.
Revenue in the city has all but dried up since Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, and McKeever is certain that city officials are happy to have something generating income again, but he asks at what price. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
In honor of Black History Month in the United States, Focus on the Family presents the dramatic testimony of an African-American pastor who confesses he sharply disagreed with the efforts of civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King until the Lord revealed an astonishing truth to him. Don't miss Dr. Ken Hutcherson's incredible story next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Are the visions and oracles found in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel relevant to God's people today? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can get more information about this commentary on our website, issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel, our February book of the month.
Well, I think people in this country want a person of faith to lead them as their governor, as their senator, as their president. I don't think most people care what brand of faith they have. And I don't believe that that's been an issue for me in my race for governor. It wasn't an issue, I believe, serious for John Kennedy when he ran for president.
Now, he's made the connection. That's Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts, making an obvious reference to the fact that he's hoping to run for president and that while the American people want someone of faith, he doesn't think the fact that he's a Mormon is going to make a big difference. It didn't make a big difference for JFK. After all was said and done, that he was Roman Catholic, what difference should it make to him? A couple questions here. First of all, would you vote for a Mormon for president? Do you think a Mormon can be elected president of the United States? He's also claiming to be pro-life. He hasn't always been pro-life, but in about the last year or so, Mitt Romney has changed his position. He's pretty upfront about it. Do you think that's a real conversion to the pro-life position on his part, or do you think that's just preparation to run on the Republican ticket for president of the United States in 2008? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Gary calls from Nebraska. He listens on our sister station up there, KNGN. Gary, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
Just some of the thoughts that I had run pretty much, I guess, maybe your last caller from Alabama kind of took some of that away. She probably knows it a little better than I do, but normally I guess I wouldn't think that I worry a whole lot about it. I want them to be politically kind of the way I am. But when it comes to being a Mormon, from the books I've read and from some of the studying I've done, it looks like they surely could have an ulterior motive, because from Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, all the way back, a lot of what they've thought has been for, you know, pretty much taking over the government of the country. I guess that's my worry.
Well, especially in the early days, they were at least viewed or portrayed, Gary, thank you. And I'm talking about early days, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, you're right. They were either portrayed or they saw themselves as a revolutionary force in the United States, a new Israel, basically going to reestablish itself, a nation within a nation. Now, that has long gone by the wayside with at least their public rhetoric. But that might be a cause for pause for someone who is thinking about who they're going to vote for president, sees Mitt Romney and realizes he's a Mormon. Do you think that Christian churches would let Mitt Romney on the campaign circuit as he gets ready to move from state to state during the primary season? Do you think the Christian churches are going to let him in the pulpit to campaign the way they'd let a Baptist or a Methodist or a Roman Catholic in the pulpit to campaign? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, calling from his car, DB, welcome.
Hey, Todd.
Hey.
You've asked so many good questions, I'm going to just pick one or two to quickly answer. I don't know if I would vote for this Mormon yet, because frankly I haven't looked at him long enough to really make any kind of decision. But as far as the general question, would I vote for a Mormon, I would in the right conditions. I'm not very concerned about, and I think this is really a negative comment on our culture, I'm not really too concerned about the faith background of the person who runs for office, because unfortunately in the United States so few people are really influenced by their faith background when it comes to politics that I'm not as concerned about whether they'll be serving their church or their particular philosophy as whether they will have any particular philosophy at all. I mean, we can look at Roman Catholics who are now in office, and so many of them simply ignore the dictates of their church and the teaching of their church on issues like abortion and sexual matters and things. So that's really a negative comment. But I think that if I really want to look at the voting record, I really want to look at the issues that a person stands behind, because who God puts in, I don't think a Christian always has to be the one in authority. God chooses, even through our democratic system, God chooses who's going to be in leadership. We have a responsibility to look at the integrity of the person, the issues that they are concerned about, and those things that they have shown in their voting record they'll stand for. And I think that's ultimately what has to make our decision, because somebody can say they're from a particular faith background, and then they do and say things that are contrary to that faith.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. One question for you before I let you go, DB. If you could choose your candidates to run on either ticket, who would you hope is going to be running in 2008?
Which particular candidate?
Yeah, for both for Republican and Democratic ticket.
At this point, I don't know for sure. I'm not real. I haven't seen anybody out there that's really encouraged me that much, and so I haven't really made that decision yet.
So for you, the issue of a Mormon running for president is not a big concern, as for you it's far more the issues that the person running is going to advocate, their voting record and whatnot.
Yeah, I'll be honest. My gut reaction when you were talking about this is it does concern me. I'm a Christian and it does concern me. But at the same time, I think it really has to boil down to what that person holds, because I think as Christians we understand there's two kingdoms, and that those in charge of the civil authority are often not people of the Christian faith, and therefore we really have to look at matters of how they at least outwardly respond to matters of justice and those kinds of issues. And I'll be really clear. I would vote for a Mormon who honestly held to a pro-choice position over someone from a more orthodox Christian tradition who didn't. Because at least, if I could verify that I felt that they were going to stand by that pro-life issue, I would feel much more comfortable with them, because I think it comes down to who's defending life. And I would look at each issue that way.
All right, DB, thank you very much. Good thoughts. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The audience seems a bit mixed. All concerned, none completely unconcerned, but of varying degrees of concern about a Mormon running for president, whether or not they would vote for a Mormon. This email comes from Steve. He writes, so, if a Mormon was elected president, would the religious right embrace him as they did President Bush? Excellent question. I guess we will have to wait and see if Mitt Romney makes it past the initial vetting process of the primaries. Will you see, Dr. James Dobson publicly endorsing Pat Robertson publicly endorsing. Those are just the ones who kind of, in the popular mind, represent the religious right. Well, you see Ted Haggard campaigning for, as he has very openly campaigned for, President George W. Bush in his church. Well, you see, for instance, Pastor Ted Haggard opening his pulpit for a campaign appearance to a Governor Mitt Romney, if he's running for president. He opened his pulpit to a Jewish rabbi not too long ago to talk about evangelical support for Israel. Will Ted Haggard open his pulpit to Mitt Romney? Fair is fair, right? Well, you see other Christians opening their pulpits to a Mormon presidential candidate for a campaign appearance. Steve also asked this, would a Mormon president be asked to speak to the Southern Baptist, like President George W. Bush has been, to the Christian Broadcasting Convention? The National Religious Broadcasters had the president address them via videotape. How much of the religious right is about power and how much of it is about proclaiming the gospel? That's a big question, Steve. I don't know. I don't hear a lot of it about being proclaiming the gospel. So do the math. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. Looking for your answer to these two questions. Would you vote for a Mormon like Mitt Romney for president? And do you trust his pro-life conversion, his pro-life position that he now espouses? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have an in-studio email address. Steve just addressed those questions to us via email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, I think it depends on who's running for, to answer your first question, Steve, it depends on who's running against him. If it is going to be a pro-choice, pro-choice candidate on the Democratic side in 2008 against a possible Mitt Romney Mormon presidential candidate who at least says he's pro-life, I think the religious right will, I don't know if they'll embrace him, but I think they'll stand behind him. How will they thread the needle? You know, we've spent the last 5 years hearing about our president as a man of faith, a man of strong faith, all of those things about President George W. Bush. Harder to say if you're James Dobson. Harder to say that of a Mormon. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, has an opportunity for you right there on their campus. These spring retreats are for lay people and for pastors. There's a confirmation retreat on the Lord's Prayer coming up in April. And then there's also a Enter the Biblical World retreat, Christ in the Old Testament, very early in May on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. John Seleska will be teaching that one. For more information about these spring retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, their number, 260-452-2247, 260-452-2247, or go to our website. There's a link to all that information at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Is Roe about to go? Well, last week, the story came to our attention of South Dakota bill that had passed the Senate and then in kind of a conference committee later in that week through the South Dakota House now awaits the governor's signature. It would ban all abortion in the state of South Dakota with one exception, and that is when the mother's life is genuinely in peril. That's the only exception. Here are the facts from ABC News.
It's one of the most emotionally charged political issues in America. And this morning, the battle over abortion is being fought on a new front, America's heartland. The South Dakota legislature passed a measure imposing the most restrictive limits on abortion since 1973. It's crafted to be the boldest, most direct assault on Roe versus Wade in more than a decade. If Governor Mike Rounds signs it, it will trigger a chain of legal events that could eliminate a woman's right to choose and alter the nation's political landscape.
This is an issue that is affecting real people's real lives. in this state and potentially around the country.
And South Dakota may soon have company. Lawmakers in at least seven other states are considering similar legislation.
The changing face of the Supreme Court is what's driving all of this. The departure of Sandra Day O'Connor, a swing vote on abortion, and the arrival of two conservative justices, John Roberts and Samuel Alito.
The shift in the court has emboldened anti-choice forces to try to put forth unconstitutional bills to test to see if Roe v. Wade can be overturned.
Some legal scholars say it may be a risky gamble.
There are at least five justices who have been committed to Roe v. Wade, and there's absolutely no reason to believe any of them have changed their views on this matter.
If the new court reaffirms a woman's right to an abortion, that doctrine could be even more firmly entrenched than it is now. For Good Morning America, John Yang, ABC News, Washington.
Okay, that's about the law, and it raises a question that I raised when we talked with one of the progenitors of that South Dakota bill, a woman who had been lobbying, Erlu was her name, Laura Erlu, I believe. She was lobbying for years to get this bill in South Dakota through, and she has met with some success. And I asked her when we talked with her last week, if this doesn't pass muster with this court, will that create another wall of precedent for overturning Roe v. Wade? She said, if I thought it would, I wouldn't have brought it. She doesn't believe it would. I've heard her interviewed elsewhere. She says the same thing. So, it was Leslie Unruh of the Alpha Center in Greenfield, and we also talked with Senator Brock Greenfield. Okay, is this premature? We do not have a Roe-turning court yet. We do have a court that could possibly ban partial birth abortion, but we do not have a Roe-turning court yet, not by the numbers. So is this premature? Is this, as one of the people in that ABC Good Morning America piece said, a risky gamble, running the risk of allowing this court, this newly comprised court, to speak firmly in favor of Roe v. Wade, to act incrementally and to basically put up another wall of precedent, saying, look, every time you bring it to us, we're going to say no. Making it harder on, let's say, the president, if he has another opportunity to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and he gets another pro-life justice in there, making harder to overturn Roe v. Wade. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So at least in South Dakota, but nationwide as well, all eyes are on Governor Mike Rounds. This bill sits on his desk awaiting his signature. He says he's inclined. Here's an interview from ABC News with Governor Rounds on this very South Dakota bill.
And we turn now to the man who has final say on this controversial piece of legislation. South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Kate.
Here's the bill. We printed it off the Internet. It's 4 pages long. I imagine you've had time to read the bill at this point and study the details, being that it's only 4 pages. Will you sign this piece of legislation?
We won't know for sure until our attorneys have had an opportunity to look at the details within the bill. 2 years ago, there was a similar bill that was passed, and there were technical details in the bill which stopped us from signing it
right.
at that time.
But this is pretty straightforward. This bill is pretty straightforward. I mean, it basically eliminates all abortion in your state unless the life of the mother is at risk.
That's correct. And that was the same with 2 years ago. But there were technical problems with the previous bill. We haven't had an opportunity to look at the technical side of this one. If the bill is correctly written, then I will seriously consider signing the bill. It would be a direct frontal assault on Roe versus Wade.
You just said seriously consider. I know that you've said you believe abortion is wrong. Why won't you be very clear? Why won't you say, I will sign this piece of legislation?
Because until such time as I have the recommendation of the folks that take a look at the technical side of it, I won't make a
right.
firm commitment to sign the bill. I have 15 days in which to make up my mind. I probably won't take that much time on it, unless there are serious issues that are presented to me by the folks that take a look at the technical side of it.
Assuming there are no technical, I just want to be really clear on this, assuming there are no technical difficulties, you will sign this legislation.
That would be my intent.
There's only one clinic performing abortions in the state of South Dakota, and they actually have to fly doctors in from Minnesota to do that 1 day a week. So there aren't that many abortions happening in your state. I imagine this really isn't so much about South Dakota as it is about trying to force this to the Supreme Court.
There are as many as 800 abortions that are performed within the state, and there have been that many in the past. But it is true that this particular legislation would impact the decision of Roe versus Wade. It is a direct attack on the interpretation of the Constitution by that court decision in 1973.
Right. It is essentially an unconstitutional law that you would be signing, a bill that you would be signing into law. Is this the right way to do this, do you think? Do you think a frontal attack is the right way?
Personally, I have always preferred that we take it one step at a time and look at different approaches to allow the court different avenues to change Roe versus Wade. In this particular case, the bill which the legislature has presented to me doesn't take it small steps at a time. It takes it directly to the heart of Roe versus Wade.
And just quickly, you're in Washington right now meeting with other governors. Have you talked to any other governors, Republican or Democrat, about doing the same thing in other states?
No, we really have not. We know that because our legislative session starts early in the year, begins the first part of January, and we're done in either 35 or 40 days, the legislative body in South Dakota probably goes through and finishes up its work faster than in most other states. So this year there may be other states that challenge, but South Dakota would be one of the first to have its legislative session complete and the bills completed that would come from such a session.
Governor Mike Rounds, we will continue to follow it. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
You bet, Kate.
That was the South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds recently on Good Morning America. He's not going to commit himself. The most he would say is if the bill is correctly written, and he has yet to hear from his experts on that, I will seriously consider signing it. That, in my household, if my kids heard that one, would be a firm maybe. Now, there are reasons why he might not want to sign it. It might have some sort of technical fatality built into it. Who knows? The senator we talked to last week and the lobbyist who brought the to everyone's attention doesn't feel that it does have any, that it solved the technical problems that plagued a previous bill in South Dakota that did the same thing. So, is this premature? 5 minutes left in open lines, issues, etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Your thoughts on the South Dakota abortion ban. By the way, this is really a matter of opinion here. I'm concerned. I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned that it might be premature and that it might give this court, as it's presently comprised, an opportunity to take an incremental approach and say no to a ban like this, which is just another layer of precedent. Another time the court hears here's a case that has the potential for touching upon Roe and says, no, Roe is safe for another day. Now, I know the court can always overturn itself, but every time the court says, no, Roe is safe, says it once, twice, three times, a layer of precedent builds up over these kind of cases where the court becomes less and less likely to overturn it. Also, given the fact that we don't have a Roe-turning court yet, at least the way people are counting the votes on the court. There's no thus saith the Lord on this one. Everyone who is pro-life wants to see Roe overturned. The question is this the right way to go about it? A frontal assault, as it's being called, at this time. Now, I know my other impulse when I heard about the law was, well, good for them, kind of the cheerleading impulse. Good for them. But that's tempered with a bit of caution. The law of unintended consequences. Could this work against an eventual law that could overturn Roe? This is just my opinion. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So even the governor there in South Dakota is not going to commit himself. If he does sign it, you know what it will mean. Probably the quickest trip to the Supreme Court of any law recently. You know what the Supreme Court could also do? They could also just say, we're not going to hear this, and let a lower court's ruling that may junk the South Dakota ban stand. That is, in effect, a ruling without making a ruling. They could just say, no, we're not going to hear it. We're not interested in doing that. Our issues, etc., book of the month for February, just a few days left in February, is a great commentary on an Old Testament book that many people find a bit confusing and daunting. You don't need to. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Ezekiel, the first 20 chapters, walking you through, verse by verse, this Old Testament book, its prophecies, its visions. The book is $42.99 plus shipping and handling. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel. Tomorrow on the program, the six-month anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Can you believe it? 6 months already? That means another hurricane season is only a few months away. Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief will be our guest. We'll get an update on what's going on. They had a Mardi Gras. They're celebrating things, but it was a rather somber Mardi Gras. We'll also conclude our series on Eastern Orthodoxy with Dr. Gene Smith tomorrow on Issues, Etc. We'll talk about Orthodoxy and icons, often misunderstood aspect of Orthodoxy. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. When we come back from this break, Dr. Uwe Simonetto is here in Studio A. We're going to continue our series on lay vocation, talking about the physician. Everyone used to consider it a godly calling, without question. It's a harder judgment to make nowadays, seeing how some physicians behave. The healing arts, they used to call it. Sometimes doctors aren't healing at all, but hurting. Whatever happened to the Hippocratic Oath, we'll talk about that with Uwe here in Studio A in the third hour of the program. Then we have open lines for your questions and your comments. The very interesting lawsuit brewing around the upcoming movie, The Da Vinci Code. We'll find out about it, and if time permits, we'll also hear an interview with the head of CARE, that Islamic organization. Talk about how Islam is coming off nationally, internationally, how its image is being portrayed. That's coming up here in the third hour of Issues, Etc. When we come back, we'll talk about doctors. You know, it ties in a bit to what we talked about earlier today. We've got doctors who, in the name of cures, are willing to kill. We have doctors who, in the name of helping, are willing to help people die. This issue isn't going away. Did it all fall apart when the Hippocratic Oath went the way of the world in medical schools? Join us on the other side of this break, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.